سيدنا ونبينا ومعلمنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا يوم الأرض على الله سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه، وارض اللهم عن ساداتنا أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعنا معهم يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, today inshallah رب العالمين is going to be our third khutbah with the surah that we have personal connection with. The surah we called it, and the ulama called it, the surah of optimism. This is my third khutbah in this surah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I have very personal connection with surah Yusuf. It's surah you and I, subhanallah, for some reason we like to read, we like to hear, we hear so many lectures and khutbahs, and still we're learning more and more and more, subhanallah. The subject matter of this surah, ikhwani, is totally different from the rest of the Quran. So the very first, and as we said we're only going to be learning some lessons. We're not just going through the story itself, right? We are going to learn some lessons. In the first khutbah, we talked about the son-father relationship, the parent-children relationship. We said that Yusuf alayhi salam felt very comfortable going to his father, sharing a dream with him. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. And then as a parent, he listened to him and then he guided him. He told him, do not share your business and your secrets and your dream with your siblings. Otherwise, shaitan is going to do what? To divide between, to cause division between you guys, right? And then we moved on to talk about something very important, that when they hatched the plan against Yusuf alayhi salam, all right, what did they do? They decided to throw him in the jail. They, in the beginning, they thought of killing him, right? And then they decided to throw him in the jail, in the world, subhanallah, fi ghayabat al-jub. And that took us to a very important question of the previous khutbah, was why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this to happen? In other words, why there's so much evil in the world? The question that you and I could not really find an easy answer. No one in the world could claim that he has an answer to this question. Why there is so much destruction and evil in the world, brothers and sisters? Why this, that, you know, that the people in Syria are suffering, the people here are suffering, why there's volcanoes, why there is, you know, hurricanes, all of these things. What is the point behind that? Why did Allah create a snake, for example, right? Something that harms human being. That was our topic from last time. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow Yusuf to suffer? He could have just saved him. Why the family is just not just being united? Subhanallah. One time I had a conversation with sister, subhanallah, may Allah make it easy on her. She had a child, and because there was an issue with the deliveries, he had a brain damage. And subhanallah, this sister, she was tested a lot. So when I spoke with her, and this is what we do as imams or khatibs, what we do basically is all a painkiller. Get a painkiller. Have sabr. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we do, and it works for a short time. But as human beings, we forget. We tend to forget, and this is very normal. And she said, why Allah is doing that to me? Why He's giving me a child with brain damage? Why? I said, because it's a test. This is the only answer we have, right? Because a test for you, and it might be good for you. Why He gave me again a child with a brain damage, right? I told her, because He wants to give you Jannah. She says, why wouldn't He give me a child, a healthy child, without brain damage, and gives me Jannah after that? It's a question that we all ask. Why wouldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? Right? I need to live happily in this world. All right? I'll be a good person and then I go to Jannah. Subhanallah. At that point, brothers and sisters, when shaitan comes to you and, you know, put these questions in your mind, the answer is only one answer. We are not in a position to question the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what I told myself. I am not in a position to ask why Allah created me as a test. Why You created me to be tested in the first place? I did not choose this test in the first place. Why you tested me? Subhanallah. This is one of the questions that nobody really have a definite answer. Why there is evil in the world? But as we said last time, brothers and sisters, and I'm recapping inshallah very quick. As we said last time, we cannot find a profound answer, but all what we can do, we can try to find some, you know, some hikmah, some reasons as why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this to happen. Number one, we said that every human being on earth is going to be tested. That takes us to the main point. We have to say that. Number two, rejecting your faith because you do not have a definite answer to this question is not actually going to give you an answer. Ask anybody who rejected the faith, rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he did not have an answer to this question. Ask him, when you rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen, when you left the masjid, did you find an answer to the question as why there is so much evil in the world? He's going to smile and say, no. SubhanAllah. So would we rather just try to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have some wisdoms and listens and reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that? So we said every human being will be tested. Number two, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this life and this world for test. We said that not knowing the answer or rejecting the faith is not going to give you a definite answer to this question. And finally, brothers and sisters, we said that khayr always stems from evil. In the beginning I said, why did Allah create snakes? We said that, subhanAllah, if you ask the brothers, the pharmacists, they will tell you there are a lot of benefits. Most of the medicines and the prescriptions, all of this thing is coming out of the snakes. So there is khayr. What about the volcano? We know that a lot of khayrat come after the volcano. Even the wars, there is destruction in the world. And history tells us that most of the inventions actually happened during the war. So there was wisdom behind the war itself. SubhanAllah. This is the kind of answer that we can give. But is it definite answer? Allahu A'lam. And again, we said last time that this question is very ancient question. That the angels asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. He said to them, I am going to create a successor, right? They said, you are making somebody, you're creating someone who is going to cause corruption on earth. We are here. We're already worshiping you. Why do we need some other? They were not objecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were curious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you do not know. And the very last thing we ended the khutbah with last time, we said this life is like a novel with multiple chapters. This is only one chapter, right? You will never know what's going to happen until you read until the end of the book. And unfortunately, the second or the final chapter of this world is going to be in the hereafter. So there is a high possibility that a lot of questions that you had in your mind will not be answered. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to believe. So brothers and sisters, also Surah Yusuf, we know what happened at the end. Yusuf alayhi salam suffered a lot, but then he became something. He became something at the end, subhanAllah. And that's why the ulama, they call it the surah of optimistic. No matter what happens, no matter how dark it gets, there is always light at the end of the tunnel, subhanAllah. But we have to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So moving forward, they took Yusuf alayhi salam, and they're about to implement, and unfortunately, threw their brother in the well. SubhanAllah. So they went to their dad. They said, bring Yusuf with us. All right, he's a child. We want him to play. He's a young kid, right? And SubhanAllah, they went. They threw him in the well. Came back. We know the story. Put some blood in his shirt. There was no even a sign or mark on the shirt that it's ripped or anything. If you claim that the wolf ate Yusuf, there is no mark. And this is something that, you know, when they check for crimes, they look for always for mark or sign, right? Quran already told us in the beginning, subhanAllah, there is no blood, there is blood in the shirt, but there is no mark. They say the criminals, they always leave mark or a sign behind. Right? They always do that. And subhanAllah, it is in the Quran. And their father realized that. How come you still telling me that the wolf has eaten him, yet there is nothing, just blood or red thing? Right? So, and again, that tells us something, that children can lie and fabricate things you never imagine. And I'm a high school teacher, and I can tell you that for sure. If you ask them, why didn't you do the homework? They can tell you a story from now until the next year. And my dad and my mom, and we went. And then I continued. I said, and then you went to the moon. And then you met somebody up there. I know, because they're not saying the truth. All right? So children have this ability, subhanAllah. They told their dad, the wolf, we left him, and the wolf had eaten him, subhanAllah. And that's something, brothers and sisters, we have to realize that this is sometimes the nature of the children. But we need to learn how to deal with this situation. Sometimes we force them to lie. I'll tell you how. When they do something wrong, all right, you tell them, if you tell me the truth, I will not harm you. Wallahi. And they swear. As soon as you hear that, it was me. I'm the one who did that. And what happens? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Right? So what do you expect after that? He's going to lie to you again. All right, he's going to lie. They know how to lie. So we've got to be careful. If you promise your child that you are not going to punish them, do not punish them, please, for Allah's sake. Do not punish them. Otherwise, what do you expect from them? They're going to lie and lie and lie. The brothers of Yusuf, they fabricated a story to their dad. Their dad didn't believe it. He was a prophet. Did he know that what exactly he did? No. But he said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know something. I have a feeling. But he was not really certain. And that takes us to the next lesson. He said, Yaqub alayhi salam, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. There is something going on in your mind. You've did something. You've done something wrong. All right? However, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I will be patient. Not only patient, but I will have the beautiful, the most amazing patience. And what's the difference? We know the difference. The difference is the regular patience is the patience that you complain to people. You know, something bad happens to you, but you complain to people. Look what's happening. Look how bad my situation is. All right? But the beautiful one is like you're harmed, you're hurt, you have like very hard life, yet you never complain. We have these people around us. You ask them, and do you know their situation very well? How is it going, brother? How is it going, sister? Alhamdulillah. How is your job? How is your work? How is it? Alhamdulillah. We live in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have these people around us, but that's not easy. That's not easy because we tend to complain. This is our nature. If you're not complaining, then if you're having sabr jameel, you're going against your nature. And there is nothing more difficult to a human being than going against your nature. Brothers and sisters, in the next few minutes, we're going to talk about the patience. Yes, it's a lecture that you heard in this masjid many times. I'm sure you heard it somewhere else, right? Everybody tells you, be patient, right? Have sabr, but they never tell you how to. Why should you be patient in the first place? Why Yaqub alayhi salam had to deal with all of that? Lost his eyesight, you know, crying day and night because of what? Because of losing his child, his beloved child, right? People never tell you, brothers and sisters. What is patience? Why do I have to be patient? How can I be patient? It's very hard to be patient, brothers and sisters. That's not easy. If somebody tells you that it's very easy and, you know, just be patient and know that it's from Allah, no, that's not the reality. That's not the reality. I had a very sad incident in my life when one time, and I'm not complaining, I have lost a child. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather him with us in Jannah. Allahumma ameen ya rabbal alameen. And this is when I realized how hard patience is. Subhanallah, it's really hard, but it's sweet. I even told my wife and I told myself that if we're not Muslims, if we're not believers, if we do not know how hard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding us and all of these things, how can we really take this hard time? How can we survive? It's not possible, brothers and sisters. It's absolutely not possible. But subhanallah, every time, as soon as we heard the child is gone, I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Doesn't mean that I was not hurt. I was not crying from inside. I was, because I was a human being. I'm a human being as well. And I realized why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, if you are patient, your reward in the day of judgment is going to be no like anybody else. Yes. These are the things that we, you and I, should understand and realize. However, without, you know, getting into the less type of patience, we need first to talk about the type of patience. Because whenever we talk about sabr, the only thing that goes to our mind is a story like the one I shared with you right now. Losing a child, losing a job, losing this, losing that. This is the first thing. But subhanAllah, even leaving your job place right now, I know it's your lunchtime and we appreciate that so much. It's your lunchtime maybe, right? Lunch break. And however you sacrifice and you come to the masjid here, subhanAllah, ikhwani, that's not easy. You need a lot of patience, right? Because you have so many reasons not to come to the masjid. What would I come to the masjid now? I can just go enjoy my lunch. It's my lunch break, right? But subhanAllah, you had sabr. As-sabr ala ta'atillah. It is the patience to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? I need to pray 5 times a day. It's not easy. If somebody tells you it's easy, I can just come to the masjid, that is not easy, wallahi. You need a lot of patience. And this is the first type of patience. Patience to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sabr ala ta'atillah. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وامر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها. You know, when you wake up, when you wake your kids up from, you know, to pray Fajr or to come with the masjid, I know how hard this is. Trust me, I know that very well. It's really hard. And do you feel pain in your heart? My child is not coming to the masjid. My child is not waking up. My child is not the way I want him or I want her to be. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. He's talking to the Prophet. He said, and command and advise your family, your household, to fulfill, to perform the salah. And said what? وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Not wasbir. He said, wasbir. He's emphasizing, and be patient. Be patient. It will take your time. But eventually they will come. Eventually the khayr will come. That's why Yaqub alayhi salam said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So the very first type of patience, brothers and sisters, patience and sabr ala ta'atillah, to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second category of patience, the patience you need to stay away from the sins, from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. This is also not easy. To keep yourself away from zina, from interest, from all of these haram things, that is not easy. I'm talking to our youngsters now. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming to the masjid right now to pray, we really do appreciate that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always have you in the masjid, because we always say, if we do not have our youngsters in the masjid, there is no future for the masjid. Right? You know what they say? They say, if after the salah you don't hear the noise from the young people in the back of the masjid, there is something wrong with the masjid. Right? It means that there is no future for this masjid. So that is not easy, that you as a young person, and instead of going somewhere else doing all kind of haram things, you come to the masjid and say, listen to me here for 30 minutes or so. Right? So to stay away from the haram things, it's also not easy. That's not easy. You need a lot of patience, a lot of struggle, subhanAllah, to fulfill that. So brothers and sisters, patience is not just about, you know, having sabr or patience when a calamity hits you. And this is the message that I wanted to share with you today. So patience to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, patience to stay away from Allah, from committing the sins or the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us sabr and jameel. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, why do we need to be patient? What is the significance of sabr? Subhanallah, something that we need to understand very well. Brothers and sisters, in Surah Yusuf, if you attended the previous khutbah from me here in this blessed masjid, that was the very first part of, I would call it, a divine prescription. If you want to be healed from all heart disease and all of this, you know, blood pressure and diabetes and all of these things, that was the first thing, knowing that khayr stems from evil, from bad thing. This is the first thing. The second part of the divine prescription that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us in Surah Yusuf, the Surah of Optimism, is a sabr. You need this. Why do I need to deal with that? Why? Because again, as we said, you will be tested. Wallahi, you will be tested. Subhanallah, this is reality. You will be tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدَ. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا. We've created mankind in a struggle, in suffering. Why? The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a reason. Alright? And he said in the Quran, and this is something amazing about patience, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created you, he said, you're going to worship me and I'm going to test you. Why? And how? He actually told you, imagine it's a test, it's an exam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the things that He's going to be testing you on. Particular things, subhanAllah. And he, on top of this, He told you how to answer. And subhanAllah, at the end, He actually graded you. He told you, if you answer this way, this is going to be your grade or your word. Where's the ayah? Do I have an evidence? Yes. It's a beautiful ayah that we all love. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. We're going to be testing you in what? Fear. You'll be afraid sometimes. You will live in fear sometimes. Alright? مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Hunger. Yes. وَنَقُصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. I don't have a job. I don't have money. I'm struggling. He told you, oh, I also will test you in this thing. Alright? ونقص من الأموال والأنفس. You will lose somebody dear to you. Is there anybody in the masjid here who did not lose someone who is dear to him or her? Subhanallah, that's not possible. He told you, I also will take someone that you love so much. I will take him, I will take her. I give you this amana and then take it back. ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات. Alright, this is now the test. He's giving you, it's open book. He's giving you the questions now. Right? And now he says what? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tiding to this patient. Now he's saying that this is how he should be answered. Should be answering. Who are sabrin? Ya Allah, give us more information. We want to pass the test. He said, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا. They said, when they're hit by calamity, they said, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. He's giving you the answer. He says, when you are tested with these things that I mentioned, these particular things, this is how we should answer. Say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. To Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. Subhanallah, it's my amana. I give it to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me my child, and He took it back. I should not object. Should I grieve? Yes, that's our nature. All right? But I shouldn't say, why did you take my child? Subhanallah, this pious woman, and inshallah we'll conclude with this amazing story. This pious woman, her husband was traveling, right? They had 3 children. And so he traveled for business, and he came later on. You know, during his traveling, his children died, passed away. And back then, there's no phones, there's no connection, there's nothing, obviously, right? Subhanallah, he came back. She never showed to her husband that there is something wrong. Until the morning, he asked, where is my kids? She said, if somebody gives you an amana, and he asked back for it, he gave you some money to, you know, something to leave, to keep with you. And he came later on and he said, give me my amana back. Would you say no? The answer was, of course not. I would definitely give them the amana back. Because that's their amana. She said, Allah has given us 3 children as amana, and He took them back. Subhanallah. Look at this. Look how iman makes your life easy. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Subhanallah. Shifa, ikhwani. Spiritual prescription. I'm not claiming to be a doctor or anything. So the brothers, the physicians wouldn't, you know, feel bad. But I'm not a doctor. Subhanallah. I'm just using and delivering the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will make us live stress-free. We should be patient because we're created to be tested. Because it's commanded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا. Because of the reward. Eventually, finally, how can we be patient, brothers? How can you convince yourself to be patient? Which is very hard, as I said, because it's against our nature. Number one, and this is something I said in Khutbat al-Eid in here, I'll conclude with this, inshallah, I promise. In Khutbat al-Eid al-Adha, I said, I'm coming here to draw a smile in your face, and this is our religion. This is our religion, this is our job. We're not here to just say, this is haram, don't do, and this is haram, no. We're here to make people feel better. That's why you came actually from your job place right now. Right, subhanallah. So whenever you're hit by calamity, remember 3 things. I said that in Khutbat al-Eid, I'll repeat that again. Remember that it's not in your deen. If you lost a job, you still say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So you have something, right? It's not in your deen. Because you can lose anything in dunya, but if you lose your deen, subhanallah, in the next chapter, you're losing everything. أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. That's the greatest loss ever. Right? Remember, the second thing you should remember when you're hit by calamity, any of the calamities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayah I just recited, remember then, it's not bigger than what it is right now. It's not bigger than what it is right now. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you 2 children and He takes one, you still have one. He could have taken 2. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have 2 jobs, you lost one, you still have one. Right? If you lost everything and you're healthy, you still have something. So it's not bigger than what it is, brothers and sisters. And if you know what I'm saying is right or wrong, please check in your computer and your TV how the, you know, the camps in Syria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. If you have an issue with your heating system, it's not working for a couple of hours, subhanAllah. If it's not working, open the TV and check, turn it on, and see that they're sleeping in the open. Nothing, absolutely nothing. The kids buried under the snow, subhanAllah. So your musibah is no bigger than what it is, subhanAllah. Right? Your musibah, whatever you have in your mind now, is no bigger than somebody who is going for chemotherapy tomorrow, or somebody is going for, you know, kidney flushing tomorrow. It's not. It really is not. Really is not. SubhanAllah. So remember this. It's not in your deen. It's no bigger than what it is. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding you. And He says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرَ حِسَابٍ. Just be patient. Wait. There is khayr coming. There is khayr. And this is something, brothers and sisters, we should have in our mind. If we want to live stress-free, things will happen. You're going to pay your mortgage. You're going to pay your rent. Everything, your kids, inshallah, Allah will guide them. All of these things we learn from Surah Yusuf. Yes. The surah of optimism. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who understand the Quran, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana. وانصرنا عن القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استقيموا واستووا واعتدوا بكم الله شعوا في صلاتكم. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.